With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is
Wait, hold on. It's recording. Go ahead.
Tom, this is for Ice Age Collision Course, okay? And here's the spoiler warning. This is your official spoiler warning. If you haven't seen Ice Age Collision Course or any sort of broadly accessible Hollywood cartoon in the last 30 years, we will spoil the tropes and the storyline of this particular film. So, you know, spoiler warning.
I like to watch things fresh and unspoiled. Look at me. Oh, I deserve to experience stories fresh for the first time. Well, I'm a baby. Every fucking moment is a new discovery, and that's the way I want it.
Hey there, baby boy. I bet you probably need some sort of warning at the start of this episode.
Yeah, otherwise I'll comment on your post and say, spoiler much.
Well, guess what, baby? This is your spoiler warning if you haven't seen...
I'm entitled to experience everything the first time.
If you haven't seen Ice Age Collision Course...
Then grow up.
Baby No Spoils. Up. Why would Baby No Spoils go into a podcast about a movie they haven't seen but they want to know?
Why are they watching a podcast? First question.
Yeah.
Why are they listening to this podcast if they are upset about spoilers? Yeah. You have to take stock and you have to take responsibility for your own actions and what you want out of life.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to just learn to the world is tough out there.
Hunch sent.
And being spoiled for the story of Ice Age Continental Drift is the least of your fucking problems.
If it is the most,
if
it is your biggest
mess right now,
your life is
a mess. If it is your biggest problem, maybe you should listen to some of the people that are aggressively.
Yeah,
aggressively fighting with online.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because maybe they have bigger problems.
No one enjoys your company. That's the biggest spoiler warning of all.
Spoiler warning, you ruined Star Wars. It was your fault.
Yeah. You're the fans that I talk about when I say I hate Star Wars fans and this whole weird fan entitlement thing that's going on.
Spoiler warning, no one fucking likes you.
Yeah. Spoiler warning, here's the one thing that isn't going to be a surprise.
Fucking get a hobby and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, well, you know, anyway, so... That, but also Ice Age Collision Course
is a dog shit film.
Save it for the pod.
Should we wait until
this is the pod?
This is the spoiler intro. Warning.
Spoiler
warning.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Started. Let's go to
spoiler
the opening
warning.
Theme.
Ben Russell didn't like this movie
We're going to go to the opening music, then we're going to do our intro, then we're going to introduce you, Ben.
This
then
is a professional podcast,
People
Ben.
People know that Ice Age means Ben Russell.
I say
it's true.
I have ownership over this, even though each more Ice Age that we do, I'm going to get more and more angry at you and at you, the listener, for doing this. I have ownership and I can't stop because I'm also stubborn and I respect my brand integrity.
It's and here is the opening titles. That was your spoiler warning.
Peace. I hate the word.
Hello and welcome to Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama. This is a podcast where each week we watch Ice Age because it doesn't fucking stop. It's a podcast about Johnny Legs. We love him. We love what he does. And we love the Ice Age franchise. Oh. I am Mish Wittrup. You might know me from enjoying the third Ice Age too much. And I reflected on it, and I think that was purely because...
You're having a good day.
I was having a really good day that day.
Or a bad day sometimes.
No, I was just having a good day, and I was like, oh, I felt like liking it. And so I did.
Yeah.
I'm joined as always by my friend Zachary Thomas Ruane, who you might know from.
You know, really learning, like really respecting the work of Pixar more and more every time.
Yeah.
Like, just like every single time we do this, I go, fuck, Pixar are good.
Yes. Yeah.
We, as always, like we mentioned in our spoiler warning, when you think of Ice Age, you think of Ben Russell. So we've had to ask him along again. I will say that every single time we ask you, your enthusiasm lessens in your reply. The first time I asked you if you would do Ice Age, you were like, yeah, of course, man, I'd love to do your pod. The second time I asked you, you were like, ha, 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 yeah, all right, like, let's make this a thing. The third one, you were like, sure. And this time you just went, But thank you for joining us, Ben Russell.
Thank you. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here amongst you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
To talk about Ice Age.
Yeah.
Because it won't end, which is...
It's never going to end.
Although, I don't know if you heard the news. This happened a few months ago now, based on when we're going to release this. There is an Ice Age series coming out, and I believe there's no Johnny Legs.
Oh, thank God.
Well, that's awful for Johnny Legs, because the one thing I love about this series is it gives Johnny Legs a payday and gives him the time to go and do his Broadway shows.
Yeah. And before we get into it, I just want to say that I respect anyone that takes a paycheck for work. You know, like,
of course.
I've done sports bet ads.
Mm-hmm.
I don't endorse gambling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like gambling.
Mm-hmm. But you're now the face of sports.
But I love money.
You were telling me before. Mm-hmm. You were just saying to me before, you love gambling.
A punt. You love a punt. They call you Punty Russell.
Yeah. They call him Punty Russell?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to dig into this because I feel like...
No.
No one from sports bet is listening to this podcast.
They might.
Actually, they might.
You don't know.
And all of our listeners, if you see a sports bet ad and you recognize a comedian in one of the ads, please know that it took them a good amount of time to thinking before they chose to sign
really.
That line. Really?
It took getting to that end of the email.
Sports bet.
Yeah. Okay.
Sports bet. I mean, this is a sad... Sports bet do more for the Australian comedy scene than ABC and all the network television shows combined.
Yeah, I remember I saw Xavier Michelides in a series of sports bet ads, and I just remember thinking as soon as I saw that, I'm like, well, it's going to be a good year for Xavier.
Yeah. They do more to support the local arts and comedy scenes than any other institution that actually does arts or comedy.
Depending on how many, it's probably a bit of a net zero though. So probably for all of the comedians that benefit, I'm sure there's a few that are like secretly addicted to online gambling.
Mm.
And it probably net zeros out.
Yeah.
They probably just like take from,
yeah.
I don't want to throw aspersions on anyone, but you're not wrong. Anyway, sports bet,
sports bet. Ben.
So I take money from sports bet, and I see nothing wrong with Legsy keeping on doing this thing, even though it is creatively bankrupt at this point.
I would 100% if I got a voice job.
Oh.
On a thing like this,
yeah,
to remove it from the sports bet. If I got I would do Ice Age to the end of my life.
100%. It's his neighbours. Really, it's like people, like you know, like
it's his neighbours.
Yeah, you know, like, but like the oldies that do neighbours for like 30 years.
I love that. It's my dream. Home and Away. It's my dream to like. Play someone for 3 weeks on Home and Away. I want to play.
Yeah, I would love to.
That'd be so much fun.
Like my dream is to like ride into Summer Bay on a motorbike and a leather jacket. And I think what the story I've got, I want to pitch it to the Home and Away people. If anyone listening knows a Home and Away person,
so I would like to be on Neighbours.
Same. I would love to be on Neighbours.
See, I would. There's a lot of that makes sense. That's what I grew up watching. But Home and Away, I think there's a cognitive dissonance. I don't belong in that world. I think I can make sense on Neighbours. Home and Away doesn't quite work. Do you want to hear my pitch?
Oh, please, yeah.
So I think I'm the father. It's a single mother. If there ever is a single mother and like
Sam
a teenage
Frost.
Daughter.
Sam Frost can be the
Sam
single
Frost. Yeah.
I don't watch Home and Away, but let's just, I know that Sam Frost.
You're also anti-vax too.
Yeah, exactly. It's a match.
Pro online gambling and anti-vax. I don't believe in many things, but... But I roll into town and I am an ex-lover of the 35-year-old mother of the teenage child, and I have come to believe that I'm the father of the teenage child.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this moment where we connect. They think, oh, my God, I've got a father. And then the DNA test results come back. I'm not the dad. And then I ride out.
That's good.
I think I've reached.
And you ride out from somewhere, on what?
On a motorcycle.
On a motorcycle.
But I won't learn to ride the motorcycle. They'll have to work it out.
Yeah.
They'll
have to work out. Maybe a stunt double. I don't know.
Something like that.
That's great.
Sort of
that. What would your story be?
Well, I think I have actually reached the age where I can kind of pull off like a young dad.
Absolutely.
Like a cool dad. So I'll be like a friend or like maybe like a – I don't think I look too much like a bad dad.
No, you're a good
but
dad.
I would love to play a bad dad.
Do you know who you could be? You could be like the cool art teacher at the high school that helps like some of the kids when they're having like issues.
Yeah, I could be a friend teacher. You know what
friend
I mean?
Friend teacher.
Like, you've overestimated the casting budget of Neighbours there because that art teacher would also be one of the dads.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm not bringing in a whole other actor.
No, I would be like a friend teacher, but then I would get into trouble because I would try what I thought help a student.
Yeah.
They basically write in
the
loose plot of Dead Poets Society. So I would encourage a student to be in a play, and then that student would like get really hurt from being in that play, or dad would like ban them from school or move them
from
away
from doing theatre.
And
yeah.
then I would be like, "I've failed you."
No, that's good.
And then
that's
I'd really have to be good. Fired. Or
that's long
like that.
Enough. Like that's a good chunky role.
Mm.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe if you're like the brother of one of the dads,
so you're like
an uncle of another character. That way they
that
way they can get you into they can utilize you for
they call me Uncle Vibes.
They don't want to have you come in. They don't want to have you come in for a full day and not be shooting the entire day.
Yeah, exactly.
So they need you in the other scenes.
They need me to be exhausted by the end of the day.
I had a dream storyline on Neighbours, but they weren't ready for it yet. Like I just knew when I'm back in the day in high school or even my early 20s, I was like, I could play a high school student.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right? Like fat, teased high school student. But then the cool, popular boy kind of falls for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, good.
But his like Margot Robbie girlfriend.
Mm.
It was like, why are you like, and I don't know what my name was. What would my name be? Some sort of cool neighbor's
Greta.
Name. Greta.
There you go. Done. Lock it in. Write it down. Keep going.
And they'd be like, why are you hanging out so much with Greta? I'd be like, I don't even know. She's such a loser. But then we pash.
Yeah, great.
And he falls in love with me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I see when you
Is that a real story?
No, that's what I wanted when I was 18.
Yeah, there's lots of writings probably.
Well, because I was like, I'm really talented, but I can't do Neighbours because I don't look like Margot Robbie, and even like and I didn't look like, what was her name, Caitlin Didge. Didn't look like Didge.
I had a big crush on Didge.
You had such a big crush on Didge when I lived with Zach.
I love Didge.
2010
love Didge
was primo Zach having a crush on
Didge started
time.
Doing Melbourne theatre. Like Didge was a big part of the Melbourne theatre scene. I'm like, you know, there's a chance here with Didge.
Zach wanted Didge.
I was in love with Didge.
Anyway, now I think I'm part, like I would have to wait to be on Neighbours. I'd need to wait another 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't think I can, pull off cool mum. Like I don't think I can pull off a mum. I certainly can't pull off a high school student.
You could do an older sister.
Yeah,
a
like mid-20s.
I reckon you're a bad guy.
I think
Oh, I'd love to be a villain.
Underestimating the soap opera, how young they'll cast a parent.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you think I'm more likely to pass as a parent or as a high school student?
They cast students like Neighbours.
I think you're the parent of a bully. I think you're the mean parent of a mean kid.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that.
I think that's what we're looking at.
That's
and
great.
Really fun.
Yeah. And I think you probably die in a car crash. And then
of
the
course
mean kid,
we all do it eventually.
And the mean kid gets real sad, and the good kids end up bonding with the mean kid.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good storyline. Pitch really it. Pitch it to the Neighbours people.
I think I just did because they're listening.
They are definitely
they're listening.
I
would that's amazing. That's so good.
Yeah.
I'm an excellent writer, guys.
I knew someone.
Hire me.
I knew someone who someone
listening to this podcast like, I think I will. Yeah.
I think
come on, Neighbours.
My God.
Neighbours is all right. Summer Bay, I'm not into the Summer Bay.
I could get into Summer Bay.
Never will be.
Are you not a beach boy?
No, I was. Well, back in the day, I was a country practice kid.
Oh,
wow. Oh, country practice, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever get into McLeod's Daughters?
The Wombat.
Nah.
Okay, just country
practice. I kind of got into like the first five episodes of
Always Greener. I was a country practice kid.
I love that.
Always greener.
Yeah, I remember always.
But then I was like, nah.
That was after Sea Change. That was the trying to get their Sea Change.
Mm. Loved a Sea Change. Mum loved a Sea Change. So I watched a bit of
Sea Change. I really loved an All Saints.
Never got into All Saints. Never was lucky enough to get on that. We shot like this weird, this was a long time ago, we shot this weird pilot for a sketch show in the All Saints set.
Oh, that's great.
I remember, I think Broden was on that and he would tell stories about the props. You guys found a props room that was just full of like fake robot babies.
Yeah, it was sick. such a weird experience that one because, I mean, it was never ever going to get made. I feel like they were just like letting us, they do what sometimes in Chicago, it's ad agencies would pay improvisers to just like, improv and they would just copy. Mm. They would just copy that and turn them into ads.
That is amazing.
And that's crazy. I felt like that's what they were doing for other shows for us.
I think of all the wrongs in the world, because there's a lot of wrongs and I think we're in a really dark period of history.
Mm. We're the darkest timeline.
I think, you know, I've heard it said that history doesn't repeat but it does rhyme. And I think if you look at the flows and ebbs of history, we're about to go into a very dark period of human history. Mm. And I think the darkest thing is that somewhere in this last few decades, people have convinced ad copywriters that they can do comedy.
Mm.
That's the worst thing that's happening in this world. It's just like
to the same extent, people have convinced game writers that they're funny, like writers in computer games.
Oh yeah.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah, love to think that they're funny, and I am yet to really find a. Oh, it's not entirely true. There are some exceptions. Like Disco Elysium is quite funny.
A beautiful novel
of a game, but. For the most part, they all suck.
How do you do comedy in a game? Because I loved Monkey Island growing up, and that works because it's written, so you can kind of set the rhythm. But I feel like in gaming now, like rhythm is so hard to set.
It's because it's all just written. I mean, computer game writers, I looked into it, and it's such a nebulous pathway to get into game writing.
Mm.
It's mainly just people that were there or run the company. Like, I'm going to write this game. I'm going to write it. So it's all just like nerds or bosses who people laugh at in the meetings. And they're like, I'm funny because people have to laugh at my shitty jokes in meetings.
Mm.
And now I'm doing this.
That'd be a very funny show.
Yeah.
Following that person.
Oh, man. It'd be, yeah.
That's it's very
the same
funny.
With copywriters. It's the same with like, it's like the funny guy in the ad writing world.
Mm.
And then they're just like, oh, I'll do it. It's like they don't. But the thing with ad, it's like
some really good games. Sorry to interrupt. Do employ actual writers, and it shows in specific in
because they would games. Have they have different levels of writers in gaming, don't they? Like they have the story rep, but then really also they'll have someone write like the little quips or the little throwaways. Yeah. And
but they, I'm yet to have see a computer game that will. Sure, they get like some TV writers to write some, and it really. That investment pays off.
What's a game that's got good writing?
The easy one to go to off the top of my head is fucking
Last of Us 2,
which they did employ actual writers.
Mm.
I played The Last of Us 2. I've played like three games my whole life, and one of them was The Last of Us 2.
And it totally shows. Like
It was phenomenal, but the big mistake I made was that was the first Last of Us was the first game I ever played ever.
Mm. Yeah, you needed to. So be then, like,
and then
wow.
I played The Last of Us 2, and I was like. That is, this gaming is the best thing ever. And then I went to my friend Mark and was like, could I borrow some games? He was like, absolutely. And they were awful in comparison.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I can't. So now I'm literally just waiting another 3 or 4 years until they release Last of Us 3, which they are.
There are some, there are obviously exceptions. Don't at me. Don't even, if your fingers are moving to that fucking comment
They've already
section.
Added you from the spoiler warning moment.
Yeah.
And if now you're already going to the comment section to say, Ben, what about this game? I don't fucking care about your opinion. I don't care.
I'd just like to make it really clear that I care about your opinion. I am building my career and want you all to love me deeply. So if Ben is mean to you, come slide into my DMs and I'll talk you through
it. I don't care about a game that I should try. There's exceptions. I'm talking generally.
Mm.
So please,
Don't.
The thing about gaming.
It's early. I'm grumpy.
The thing about gaming as well, I think, is that it's still in its infancy. I remember I listened to an architecture podcast about gaming. It was very interesting. And, like, basically, like, it was a podcast where they talk about the ideas of architecture, but they apply it to other things. Mm. And they were talking about gaming, and they were talking about the fact that as an art form, it's still so deeply in its infancy. And that the comparison they made, which I thought was really cool, was they talked about how in the early days of film, it wasn't much more than live theater being captured. Mm-hmm. And they said this gaming is in a phase right now where it's really not that different to being an interactive film.
Yeah.
And the actual specifics are like there was a lot of Russians in like the 20s that started to really go, this is what film is.
Yeah.
That's only just starting to happen.
And it's interesting because I would say yes, but only in the story side of things.
Yeah.
And the like telling stories. In the game mechanics, it is, you know, come miles away, and it's really grown quite fast and matured. And there are some great games to play. Mm. But in terms of the stories that they're telling, I think at this time, they're getting better.
It's even a question of like,
but I think also the
story, like, is story really like, because it's like games, yes, are like films and TV, but they're also like architectural sculpture in that they're like three-dimensional artworks that interact with.
Absolutely. They're sort of a 4D type plane. You can go so many different directions. And part of the reason why The Last of Us 2 is so good is because it puts you into this, it forces you into these different points of views and tells a story that a movie can't tell.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I think, you know, I think at the moment that is the sort of the height of
100%.
What it can, the possibilities that it can do with story.
Mm.
So
do you predict that there'll be more games that come out similar?
I hope so. I think to do that first, I think the population of people that play games also have to develop and grow. At this point, they're still going, we want this to be considered an art, but are still very much in arrested development in terms of you know, their general hatred towards women or anyone different that's not a fucking lonely.
Well, you look at the reaction to Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
It's like, we want it to be treated like an art. It was like, well, here's some complex choices.
You don't do that to a bad, the main guy.
Yeah, they're still, there's this weird entitlement for games that if you're a gamer, then you have some power over the stories. But just like in Star Wars, they don't know that they should never be in charge of the story because their ideas are awful. And if they were any good, they would be writing the stories, but they're not.
Yeah.
Mm.
They'll just continue to make, you know, their games are Renpy games, like visual novels of, you know,
it's the thing with
tentacle sex.
It's the thing tentacle sex. It's the thing with Star Wars, isn't it? Like I had a moment because I'm a casual fan of Star Wars. And in a very real sense, I'm a fan of Star Wars in the sense that I'm a fan of films and TV, right? And I watched a bit of The Mandalorian and I liked it.
I liked The Mandalorian.
It was like funny because I remember talking to a friend where I was like, it feels strangely claustrophobic before I knew how they filmed it. I'm like, oh, because they're all in a room.
Johnny Legs was in The Mandalorian, so we're still slightly on topic. Yeah, he did a little cheeky Easter egg.
One-eyed little monster.
Yeah, he wasn't announced at all, and then all of a sudden he just showed up. He's like, by the way, that was me.
If we were smart, we would have recorded that episode the week it came out.
I really liked The Mandalorian.
I did too.
And I think it's the first Star Wars since Empire that has been any good.
I have not seen any Star Wars films.
That's fair. Yeah,
except the one with the small boy.
There are two great films. Two solid films.
Yeah. The first one and Empire.
Yeah.
And then the third one is, you know, it's not bad. It's just the first one that repeats itself in a long history of a series that continuously eats itself.
Just so. And this is what I think the thing, right? This is what I realized. There's two things with The Mandalorian that like made me go, oh, okay. One,
And I won't go on too long, Mish, because mm-hmm. if we're alienating our co-hosts, then we have gone too far.
Yeah. She's looking at her phone.
It's one thing to alienate our audience. But
or your guest.
Or your
but to alienate a co-host.
To be fair, I was looking at my phone to make sure that we still had plenty of time to continue talking about Star Wars.
About Ice Age.
Yeah, we're talking about Ice Age.
We've got to get to Ice Age.
Yeah, we will.
But the thing I really loved about The Mandalorian.
I think I've offended pretty much everyone that listens to this podcast here.
There's two things. One was it was considered, like, it's like, it was, you know, fans talk about you need to know the world, et cetera, et cetera. It's like you also need to know, like, the trajectory of the world. Like, at the end of the sixth film, call it that, but the third, like, the end of, you know, the Empire is destroyed. There's a new sort of thing. And then, you know, basically the baddies are destroyed. The good guys have won. Mm. And then in the seventh film, the J.J. Abrams one, suddenly, like, they're all, like, it's the same aesthetic.
It's a lot like Ice Age 3 in the fact that nothing matters.
Thank you,
Ben. Like,
yeah,
it's like, oh, you know, remember this? Remember Ice Age 1 and Ice Age 2? Nah, we're starting again.
So what you liked about Star Wars was that the baddies looked like fancy, big-budget Nazis. The goodies were like rebel fighters. Mm. So we're just going to do that again. But it doesn't make sense because that's not the power dynamic anymore.
Yeah.
It's also... It was a story about Vietnam. It's a different world. Like,
yeah.
You know, anyway.
What? It was a story about Vietnam.
In a lot of ways. Like, it's about rebel fighters. It's about empires coming in. In a lot of ways. That's too big of a thing. That path. I want to go down that path, Mish.
I've not seen it, so I've not, and I've never heard that. But
it's in a lot. It's, watch the first two.
I need to, yeah.
You don't need to.
I want to.
Classic films.
I want to because it comes up so often, and I do. I end up just sitting here, just kind of looking like a big fuck.
One of the A New Hope and Empire are just great, amazing films, especially for the time that they were made.
For a ride, like,
the things that they do are just incredible.
And what I would say is, you do need to, like, you do it. They are canon. They're an important part of storytelling and filmmaking.
And those stories, and these two stories, are basically just repetitions.
Yeah.
So every other Star Wars story is a derivative from these two.
Yep. Okay.
Stories.
Yeah.
Except for, you could say, the prequels, which, yes, have huge problems, but at the same time, they told a different story.
They're new and they're interesting. I think there's a lot of people. Anyway, yeah, I agree. But this is what I was just going to say. I was just saying, this one thing.
They're not good movies.
No.
But they're interesting. Mm.
The Mandalorian, the power dynamics are right. The bad guys are, like, now underground, and it's about the insidiousness of when you push the bad guys out of public view, how they grow and infiltrate society.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more reflective of today.
Yeah.
It's much more reflective of where the series left off. It's new. So I really like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wish that that's the world that we'd started the new trilogies in. The other thing is, I feel like it references Westerns.
Yeah.
I feel like it references cinema other than Star Wars.
But Star Wars is samurai and Western film.
Absolutely. And I think this is the big problem, right? First two Star Wars films are referencing other films. They're referencing Saturday serials. They're referencing Westerns. They're hugely referencing, like, Kurosawa and samurai films. And then... But then every other one is just referencing Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, all the – and the fans, they're like, oh, that's not how Star Wars works. It's like, you can't just – if you're only referencing two films, it just becomes
– And I watched Red Letter Media.
What for?
Trust me, I reckon there's a couple of fans that like this.
No. I'm not mad at all. I'm listening. No, I literally –
The guys at
Red – Don't feel bad.
Red Letter Media did a wonderful review on the new Ghostbusters film. And
the most recent one that's come out, or
and they made a really good point that really struck home to me is that there's no iconic technology today. You know what I mean? There's no iconic thing. Where's our DeLorean? Where's our modern day lightsaber? Where's our modern day Ecto-1? There is none of that. Everything now is rehashes of that. But instead of the technology serving the story serves the technology.
Mm.
And I was like, fuck. That's an incredibly like
very astute.
Astute point.
It's this thing I think we keep going. Like it used to be you'd go, I want to make my Alien or I want to make my Star Wars. Like filmmakers would think that. And now they're just like, I'm going to do one. I'm going to do that. that's the way I'm going to make a movie. Yeah. I'm going to make literally my Alien film.
Mm.
And it will be called an Alien film rather than like.
And just like Hollywood is creatively bankrupt, the Ice Age 4
good
movie very good, is Ben Russell. Creatively good. Bankrupt and recycling, just like Star Wars does, the same story over and over again, which brings us to Ice Age 4 Continental.
Shall I do my little bio?
Yes, please.
Can I just say that I wasn't mad at either of you for having chats about that. The amount of times I've gone on rants about like reality television or my tits, and you're cool with it.
No, yeah, so, I get that, Mish. It wasn't that you were doing anything.
Star Wars to you is my tits to me.
I would just like to say I'll always be cool with talking about tits.
Okay.
I love talking about tits.
Yeah.
Well,
Did you have any thoughts on tits?
We've run out of time because we spent so long talking about The Mandalorian.
Fuck.
But
I think that's
I tell you what, with Ice Age 5.
That's one of the greatest crimes I've ever committed.
That's history repeating.
I've offended myself.
Ice Age 5. When we come to Ice Age 5 in a few months, mark my words, we will spend a good solid 30 minutes and 37 seconds talking about tits.
Thank you, Mish. Wonderful. Thank you. That's a wonderful thing for you to say. It wasn't that I felt that I was upsetting you. I just, it's something confronting when you do a podcast that's as selfish as this one.
Podcasts are a self-indulgent exercise. In fact, comedy in general is self-indulgence. I believe you said that to me one time.
Did I?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, great.
What have I said to you that you remember?
Check out my tits.
Yeah, good.
And that really struck with me. I was like,
I've never forgotten.
Yeah, I've never forgotten.
Ice Age Continental.
Oh, wow,
why
are you doing it?
Yeah, I just thought I'd jump in.
Oh,
sometimes
wow, that was
you do
so
a segue,
cash.
Sometimes you just jump in.
That
I
was
tried
so
really
cash.
Hard.
You
to
did
segue
a great segue.
Do you know how hard
we'd
it is?
Done the segue.
Do you know how hard it is to mark an ad point in the middle if you just go into it without the segue? Like if you go, okay, I'm doing.
We're well past the ad point.
Yeah, the ad point's already been in.
They say to do the ad point at 15, no later than 15.
I find it whenever that I've been doing it before the blurb. That's where I put in the ad.
Okay. No, I think that we just that segue, and then the ad point, and then this.
We can do a little like cut to ad if you want.
Do you want to do a cut to ad now?
Well, now it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late now.
Acast told us you got to do it in the first 15 minutes.
Why?
Because that's where the money is, baby. That's why we're not making any money. That and the three listeners.
Yeah, it's like, hold on a second. My placing the ad before the blurb is not why we're not making
people
money.
People do come up to me on the street and they say, Ben, I love your work on Ice Age, the podcast.
I'm so
do
sure.
Do they really?
No. But they do in my streams. They come in and say, we love you on
Ice Age. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's nice. Thanks. It'd be nice if they came to us and said the same thing.
Well, we don't have streams. We don't have a line of community.
One day.
If you are a listener to this, come over to twitch.tv/bondmember and say, I love Zach and Mish's podcast, even if you don't like this episode. Don't tell me that you don't like this episode. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I just want to know if you listen to and love Zach and Mish's Legazamarama.
Yeah,
good. It's been on 7 times. You still can't say the name of our show. We did. No, that's not on you. That's on us calling a show Legazamarama.
Yeah.
But our most regular guest. I remember when we first pitched it, we pitched it to someone and they were just like, yeah, cool. Oh. We should have taken that as a warning sign. Okay.
I think I say it right.
No, you did.
You did good.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah.
Go, Zach.
Ice Age Continental Drift is the fourth film in the Ice Age series. Released in 2012, 10 years after the first Ice Age film, this continues the crazy adventures of the ever-growing ensemble cast as they go on wacky as they go on a wacky adventure loosely based on plate tectonics, the generally accepted scientific theory that considers the Earth's lithosphere to comprise of a number of large tectonic plates which have been slowly moving since about 3.4 billion years ago.
Mm.
That's right. When Scrat, in a role that is slowly evolving from goofy comic relief to godlike figure that sets all world events into motion, goes to the center of the Earth to get a yummy acorn, he accidentally sets in motion the continental drift of the tidal. But instead of it taking a billion plus years, it happens very suddenly. So now the ensemble, at this point comprised of the main characters of the first Ice Age, their lady counterparts, Opossums, played by Sean William Scott, and the guy who played the troubled bully in 2004 psychological drama Mean Creek, as well as about six other wacky animals, they're all separated and have to go to each other's fast-moving continents. So they commandeer an iceberg that is also a full pirate ship run by a gorilla played by the guy from the station agent. Then, I don't know, shit happens. Then I wrote John is, and then I stopped. I'm fucking done. Fucking done.
John is Sid.
John is Sid.
He's
in it.
Sid does a little dance.
His granny is around this time, played by Wanda Sykes.
I would place a hefty amount of money on the Ice Age people went to John and said, we're making a fourth one. And John said, I will give you 2 days. And they went, fuck, because there's not a lot of Sid in this one.
There's not a lot of anyone in this one.
No, there's not a lot of anyone. There's a lot of Manny the Mammoth. Dennis Leary, he's about a bit.
Yeah, but Dennis Leary is a one take, I guarantee.
100%. He just walks in with a ciggy hanging out of his mouth. He's like, now. Oh, fuck, not the iceberg.
And J-Lo is the sexy saber tooth.
Yeah. So we've had sexy sloths. We've had sexy mammoths.
Yeah.
This time around, we have sexy saber-tooths.
What I love about this series is one thing I'm a big fan of is this sort of like, you know, collecting in amber of whoever's famous or whoever's just like past their fame enough to do a cartoon voiceover job in any year, and then they collect in amber and then they become a part of the series ongoing.
Josh Gad, RIP.
Yep. So it's like, yeah, the idea that it's like, all right, we've got Sean William Scott now for the rest of the series.
Nicki Minaj is here. What should we put her in? We'll just make her one of the mammoths. All right.
They kept making them. I think if Disney hadn't bought 20th Century Fox, you would have had, you know, in 30 years, a series with maybe 40 main characters, each in like collections of about who was famous every 2 years of the last 20. Yeah.
My favorite part of this movie is where the characters just say their subtext.
Oh.
They just say it. Like when when the first continental drift happens.
And it happens quick. Like we're just like,
Yeah. So just very quickly, Manny the Mammoth, who we've been following since the first...
An overprotective father.
Yeah. Ray Romano. Peaches the baby has mammoth learned, is now a teenager.
Has not learned any of the lessons learned.
None. Has learned. Yeah. All the fucking morals we get to at the end of each other fucking film, Manny has taken none of them on.
None of them on board. There was absolutely no growth in his character whatsoever.
He now has... He has now recreated the family he had lost at the start of the first one.
And he treats them all like shit.
Yeah, and his dead family don't even exist to him anymore. He has moved on. He is like a divorced father with his new family. And he's got kids out there, but he's like, sorry.
That would be a great, you know, we've done a lot of external drama. We've done a lot of the drama of, you know, I would love an Ice Age film where it just goes internal and it's all about him, like his guilt around the fact that he has just built a new life for himself.
Yeah.
There are no humans. Has anyone noticed that there have been no humans at all?
Oh, they're fucking done with the people.
Yeah, the people were in the first first film. They're gone now. And they've not thought of, they don't talk about them ever. Like,
no.
Remember those weird two-legged animals we saw that time?
Yeah.
That never brought up again.
Never.
Just done.
Done.
Just done.
But Johnny Legs isn't in this one so much.
No, I know.
But I will say the one smile. So I will say that this movie had me smiling on two occasions. Mm-hmm. So, and by smiling, I mean like not even close to laughing, but like, huh, Like that kind of sound came escaped my lips. He ate a berry that made him.
That was an entertaining part.
That was funny. Yeah. So he ate it. He was told, don't eat that berry because you'll be paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, I'm going to eat it anyway. And then slowly his entire little sloth body became paralyzed.
And then they used him as a weapon.
Yeah. And that was funny. The second one was this weird sirens scene where they see these sirens. So everyone knows the history of sirens. That's the other thing I mentioned before we started recording that I just want to say on record is the first film tries to pretend that it is somewhat educational about the Ice Age period. By this film,
look, it's no Dinosaur the movie 3D.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
John Leguizamo.
Absolutely not. But there is an element of we're going to teach you a tiny bit about the animals that were around at that time.
There was an Ice Age.
There was an Ice Age. By this film, none of it is historically accurate.
Yeah, you got kangaroos, you got gorillas, you got modern day animals.
And I think as well I've been complaining since the start about like contemporary references, you know, like from the start that there's like references that, you know, like they'll talk about, you know, breakfast or, you know, and it's like, well, how did they come up with breakfast? Because breakfast is it's only a 500-year-old concept, yet suddenly this film, the way it borrows from human history and the way the animals know about it, the way the animal is unparalleled. You know, like there's one thing to do a contemporary reference. There's another thing for them to know what a pirate is and to know the 20th century interpretation of an 18th century pirate and to understand that the gorilla commandeering an iceberg is that.
Yeah.
They say this man is a pirate. This gorilla man is a pirate.
Yeah.
That's I can't get past
the fact
that
a mammoth would even have the ability to comprehend that kind of situation.
All the animals share the same language.
Yeah.
And that language is English.
But different accents.
Yeah.
But the English, they all do have different accents. But the English is fine. Maybe there's like a word in Ice Age animal for like pirate. And this is a rough translation for the
like it's dubbed
storytelling. But there's like references to pirates. I'm like, this is a 20th century vision of a pirate. How do they know that?
Yeah.
Is that what's happened here?
I don't know. It was Peter Dinklage, though, and I enjoyed that.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, I will say, Johnny Legs is, we've said in previous episodes where we've done animation that personally I get really pissy when animation casts just famous actors to say that we had a famous actor doing that when they're not good voice artists.
Oh, they do this a lot.
Oh, boy. But I will say, because I want to try and inject a little bit of positivity, right? Johnny Legs is a fucking phenomenal voice actor. I really enjoy Queen Latifah. I think Queen Latifah
is a great voice actor.
Is a great voice actor.
Yeah,
I think really that like she smashes the role of Manny's wife, Ellie. I really enjoy her work. I will say, however,
what did Ben get to watch then?
Hi,
Karen. What did Ben get to watch?
We've made him watch every single Ice Age, so he's not one to be jealous of.
That is a good series.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not good.
That was Karen Wheatley from Comedy Republic, who has very kindly lent us his space to record the podcasts. He's mad because a few weeks back we made him watch a really full-on art house 92 film, very, very odd.
You know Todd Haynes, you know Carol? You know Carol?
The movie?
The movie Carol.
That's a great movie.
It's a beautiful movie. So the first feature-length film of that director when he was still, I thought it was a really interesting film. I thought Kyron would get behind it. He's more of a Carol guy rather than the first film by the guy.
And also, right before we recorded the episode with Kyron, we recorded Romeo and Juliet with Zoe Kumsmar, and he was upset because Romeo and Juliet's one of his favorite movies.
Yeah.
And he was talking about Romeo and Juliet the whole time. And
Carol was a great film, and not just because it has two of the hottest women on the planet.
Who's that?
Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice. Sex scene. For that reason. It's actually quite a beautiful film.
16 millimeter.
Yeah. You'll come for the two of the hottest women on the planet, but you'll stay for the great story. I remember watching that film. I was like, that's the reason why I watched it. And I was like, I was fucking in by the end of it. I was like, she's going back to her. Yes. Love prevails. Love wins.
What a hot couple.
Oh,
God. Like, I've not seen the movie. I really want to, but they're a couple in the film.
But like, it's
a forbidden love.
Yeah, it's a forbidden love.
Mm. Oh, it's really good.
It's a
story
film.
That's not, personally, I don't really see a lot of stories like that, and it's nice to see.
Mm. That's beautiful,
it's a beautiful, beautiful film. We've talked about Carol a lot on this podcast for a film that doesn't star John Leguizamo.
Yeah, well, we did just talk about Star Wars for half an hour.
Fucking half an hour.
Yeah, we did, but I guess we could talk about Ice Age fucking 4.
Yeah.
How did you feel it compared to the other three?
I thought the animation always gets better. Mm-hmm. I really like the wet look that they had.
Yes, they do have a wet hair.
And the water, just the water generally was very... That opening, when it comes through, I was like, wow, it has really come leaps and bounds.
And they were showing off in that opening. They were like, look what we can do now. Like,
thank you, Pixar, for your innovation.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to dismiss the work of the artist, because genuinely very talented people work on this film, clearly.
It still suffers... to be honest, the third one did not suffer from this because it wasn't really set around the ice. Mm. This one's very ice heavy, and as a result, has a very similar palette throughout. And
this was an ice heavy of the four films we've watched, one of the ice heavy ones.
It's got this, if I could just jump to a bit of the plot, it's got this very unsuccessful subplot of the rebellious daughter and the friends, which is such a derivative plot that you know exactly what's going to happen the moment it sets up and says this is happening.
Yeah.
Also, that daughter is, I think, the strangest example. We've talked a lot about the lady animals and how this series, its character design is relatively like only, you know, like a slightly anthropomorphized version of the animal is the male version.
Yep.
And then it's that in the first film, that with breasts.
Yeah.
And then from then on, that with a lady hairdo.
Yeah.
And she is the clearest example. It is literally just a mammoth. With just a ponytail, I think.
Yeah.
Just literally just girl hair on top of a man.
Yeah, but Manny's wife, Ellie, has like a curve of tits.
She does.
A tit curve.
Slight.
Yeah.
So you've got
not
Manny.
As full on as the sloth titties from the first
movie. Yeah, they toned it down.
Yeah. Whoever Manny, designed that, I wish I was in that room.
Very horny.
Yes. Yeah,
very
so
horny.
Horny.
Manny looks like a mammoth.
Yes.
Yeah.
For he is man.
Yeah.
Mm. And then the woman characters are mammoth. With slight curve of breast for mother woman, and a lady hairdo.
And you know what that's called? That's called the patriarchy, because that is subtly applying to kids that men are normal, and the women are the ones that are different.
Anyone who says to me or suggests to me that the patriarchy isn't a thing anymore, I would say to them that they need to watch the Ice Age franchise.
Are these people that say that we're in a post-race society some shit? Wake up.
And also, I mean, the thing about that as well is it also demonstrates how long the patriarchy has been around.
You can't just
it's been around since the Ice Age.
You can't just get rid of something that's so ingrained in our very, like, it's at the core
back
of society.
Back to the mammoths.
Yeah.
Mammoths had the semiotics of femininity placed upon the human form.
Are we in agreeance as well that her best friend, the mole, had a crush on her?
Oh, yeah, there was a full 16 Candles thing. And I couldn't get past the whole time. So there's a bit of a 16 Candles plot where a little tiny mole was in love with this quite large
tiny mole, mammoth. Like the size of this mole's foot.
And the whole time I'm thinking, how do they fuck?
I thought the whole time.
Because he's thinking about it a lot.
100%.
He's jerking in his little mole.
Absolutely. In that scene where it's first very apparent that he has a crush on her when she's checking out the teenage boy mammoth.
Yeah.
And he's just making these eyes at her and being like, oh, yeah, I suppose. All I could think was like, how are you going to fuck her?
Yeah.
Like, did we think about that? And that's fine. But just
I think if the roles were reversed and it was male mammoth dick and mole vagina, that might be a bit harder. This is just kind of like, you know.
He's going to have to call up in
mammoth
the vagina.
Vagina and mole penis.
He could probably
use some of his, maybe his.
Yeah, he could
just get up in there, use his digging claws, dig up in there.
Yeah, find that mammoth G spot.
Find the M spot.
just jump up and down.
Yeah.
But is that pleasant? For her, yes.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever had a mole tickle your G-spot?
Yeah, it's a big crush on her. I'm sure that it would be beautifully romantic for him to crawl up inside her anus.
Yeah, anus or vagina.
I think that's a,
or vagina.
I'm not saying that everyone likes to make eye contact all the time, but I think to be fully enveloped.
But you do. You like to...
Within the,
really stare.
Just really...
You're
just
a starer.
All I'm saying is... Oh. To be inside a creature is not a particularly sexual... To be entirely enveloped by the human form is not particularly sexual.
Well,
but
not,
that's you,
not to
that, you. Not to you. Don't
I guarantee this.
Are you kink-shaming this mole?
Yes.
If you can dream it, there's someone out there that jerks off to it.
That fascinates me too, is that like there are people that genuinely find pretty much anything.
Yeah.
There would genuinely be someone.
There's someone.
Who's
do you think anyone's jerked?
Age?
Do you think anyone's jerked off to Leguizamo Rama?
Not to Leguizamo. Oh,
maybe. I think they could be jerking off right now. If you're jerking off right now,
you
have
hashtag jerking off right now.
You have my permission to come.
Yeah, jerk away.
Yeah, jerk away.
But my question is,
you're so big.
Do you think how many people have jerked off and thought about a character from Ice Age?
I reckon there's. I reckon it would the. The results may surprise you. I reckon it would be up in the thousands.
Oh, really? My most favorite thing that we ever did on this podcast, mark my words, is we did an episode called Vanishing on Something Street. I've forgotten what it's called. And one of us sparked the question of how many people do you think were having a fuck in Detroit? In Chicago at a specific time on a specific date. And we had a good handful, like I'm talking like 10 maybe to 20 listeners who did the maths and like sent through to us realistic sums on how many people would have been having a fuck.
Roughly about 8 million people in Chicago.
But you've got to take an account for age, so you've got to consider that under 18s, how many people are having sex, over 80, how many people are having sex. People like broke it down. And
when
it
I
was
lived in Chicago, that number would have been a lot higher. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I love the old ladies.
I don't know how many people.
I love all the old ladies.
Basically, I'm saying if you did those stats, I'd love to know what you think of people who've jerked off to an Ice Age film.
I don't think there is a – that's a much harder thing because it's an in the mind – it's a self-reporting – you've got a self-reporting issue, which is always the biggest the impediment when you're doing a scientific study. How many people think about an Ice Age character while jerking to it is very different to how many people would admit to thinking about an Ice Age. I will say with absolute integrity, with absolute honesty, I have never and I don't anticipate.
But if you had, would you be telling us right now?
No, I wouldn't. But I want to tell you I haven't. But if I had.
I remember I worked for did some work for a television show on ABC that worked with statistics. And
nice.
We got a lot of statistic stuff. And there was a discrepancy between people admitting that they look at pornography and people that admit to jerking off. So you're like, not everyone's got just using their imagination here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, what is considered pornography as well? That's quite nebulous.
Well, yeah, because to some people, Ice Age is porn.
Yeah.
I would – do you know my theory?
Then people will not report that they jerk up to pornography.
I would really, really hope –
there's a lot
I hate to
stigma.
Expose my partner like this. But I would really hope that if he was really into Ice Age, he'd porn. Be able to tell me. Do you know what I mean?
It's hard to approach. Have you created a safe environment? 100%.
Our environment is so safe.
I want you to go to him. Okay,
dressed
I want you to
as
say,
a mammoth.
Sweetie, I just will let you know that if you jerk off to Ice Age.
I've told him this.
I'm not going
to. To Ice Age?
But not Ice Age specifically.
No, we're talking specifically.
I've asked him if he was a brony and he's not a brony. I'm like, do you want me to dress up as some sort of character view? No, I'm good. He's very honest.
Yeah.
But no, I've never asked him about Ice Age. Maybe if I say to him, do you really like Ice Age? And he was like, yeah. And I'm
probably,
in a sexy way.
I would have said 2 digits. I would have said under 100 have jerked off to Ice Age. But the more we talk about bronies and furries, I go, yeah.
I think it's
– But
I think
bronies are very, very quick to say it's not a sexual thing.
Yeah, but it is.
Absolutely.
Of course it is, yes.
Yeah, I mean, furries will try and tell you the similar thing, but it –
Well, I think there are non-sexual furries.
Yeah, there are.
I know a furry. Fun fact: I've got a friend who is a furry who's dating a very good friend of mine, and both of them swear to high heaven it is not a sexual thing.
Yeah, well,
one of them just likes to watch TV while dressed up as a mascot.
Yeah, I don't believe them. And I never will. And you can't actually, there's no point trying to change my mind because
that's fair.
He's going to come back to bite you in 20 years.
Oh, really?
When the furries? Yeah, furries are going to go, you're going to get 20 years,
I'll be 50.
You're going to get your Saturday Night Live hosting gig and you're going to get ready to, you're going to start prepping for it. And then someone's going to go, oh. And they're going to release this clip of you ripping into furries.
Yeah, I don't think I'll give a shit by then.
And also, furries are fun. Good for furries.
Yeah, I'm happy for furries.
I am genuinely happy for furries.
I'm happy for anyone who found their thing.
I'm happy for anyone who was like,
at what point do you discover, like, let's just say you do get off by putting on a mascot outfit. How did you discover that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming it started off small. You had a teddy bear, you liked the feel of it, then you started to, like, you really enjoy Halloween, and then before you know it, by putting on a mascot outfit, you're like the hardest you've ever been and you're really horny. I'm happy for you that you found that thing.
I agree. I respect it in the fact that it takes a lot of self-actualization, self-awareness.
Self-awareness, like, big time.
This. I am this. I identify with this. That, and you've got the freedom, and I respect your freedom to do it. Mm. But I also have a freedom to make fun of it because it is silly.
I agree. I just don't. I think there would be non-sexual furries. There would be people that just enjoy it.
Do you think there are people that watched Ice Age and got hard and then got very confused?
Yeah. I think sexuality is a very complex thing. The thing that I find fascinating about furries, right?
Did I find the lady
sloth
attractive?
Hmm.
Maybe a little bit.
Like you clocked it a bit and went, oh.
All right. Here's a question to all of you. Of all the Ice Age characters, because of the tits.
Yeah. Sue me. Call the cops right now. Tell them to lock me up.
Yeah. And if Ben can admit that, you can admit that you jerk off to Ice Age.
The sloth.
I'd fuck those sexy sloths in the first ones because they had big ass titties.
Yeah. Of all the characters.
Well, also J Lo was quite sexy in the post credit scene when she did the dance. I was like, oh, that's a sexy.
Which one was J Lo?
The saber tooth tiger, the sexy one.
I clocked, I said. If I was a furry, I would consider that quite a sexy.
But is it also because you knew it was voiced by J-Lo?
Perhaps, but they did make her feminine.
Yeah.
There are thousands of people that have jerked off to Ice Age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. I was like, that's. But there are people that probably, like their sexuality is defined.
I reckon there's a few forum posts.
Yeah.
Do you know what I reckon? Here's where I'll say. I reckon there are people that can only come to Ice Age. Now, that's a low number.
That's a very low number.
I'm talking.
And I don't know if
because there's got to be other sexy animals from other early 2000s to 2016.
I mean, there are so many
animations
people in the world.
Yeah, so maybe you not know
what
only. I mean?
Like, there's what is there? Like 8 billion people now?
Mm. Mm.
That's a ridiculous amount of
and
people.
It's
hard for us to really fathom how much a billion is.
Yeah, for sure.
To begin with.
I can.
But 8 billion people, statistically, I think that the number of people that are that would jerk off, A, you've got to think about the distribution of the film and its how reaching it is. Yeah. Because, you know, we are in this sort of American society is of Australia.
We're in would call the West, or we're
colonials.
Mm.
Yes,
colonialists.
Shared, a little
in the club of people that go around and steal shit from other people.
But although there probably would be a few, Ice Age with dubbing probably did make inroads in countries other than
absolutely. And I would say that Ice Age. I would be surprised if Ice Age didn't make it past the Chinese censors and was in China. It seems quite innocuous. It doesn't go, freedom is good or it talks about this one especially goes into really starts to be like we're fast and furious now because it's all about family.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's a certain collectivist spirit to Ice Age.
Yeah. So I think the CCP would probably say this is fine. There's no big religious overtones in
not
it.
Not at all.
And not hard to change a few lines here and there.
Wholesome, you know. Inoffensive.
Hmm. So I think that could possibly be a thing. So once you've got China, it's definitely got India. Those are two of the biggest populations on Earth. Mm-hmm. So I think that the number that we're talking about for people that have jerked off and people that can only jerk off may actually be quite a lot higher than what we think. I'm thinking maybe we've underestimated thousands. I think it could be, you know, upwards of tens of thousands.
I do not think there are tens of thousands of people that can only jerk off to Ice Age.
No,
I
think maybe not.
Only that's a niche.
I reckon only is an under 10K.
I'm thinking only is under 100.
I don't think it's under 100.
Only is under
100. I think it's under 10K, but within in the thousands.
I would be willing to...
I think people that have jerked off...
But we're saying someone that...
Could be upwards of millions.
I'm saying someone who...
Millions?
We got two conversations.
Maybe even hundreds of thousands.
The only jerking off... When I say they can only jerk off to Ice Age, the point that Mish raised earlier is key here. That means they can't jerk off to Roger Rabbit. Yeah. That means they can't jerk off to Monsters, Inc. That means they can't jerk off to Shark Tale.
Roger Rabbit is... I mean, you've got so many people jerk off to Roger Rabbit because of Jessica Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit.
Oh, my God. What do you think the numbers are for jerking off to Jessica Rabbit?
Well, I can tell you at least one.
I remember seeing Jessica Rabbit as a little girl and thinking, I want to be like her. I want to look like her. She had that Anna Nicole Smith thing.
Jessica Rabbit was She was definitely a part of the sexual awakening in me, for sure, 100%.
Yeah.
Think it's a possibility you jerked off to Jessica Rabbit?
Oh, very high.
I don't know if I have jerked off to Jessica. I can't say.
Yeah. I can say, bottom of my heart.
It's a big, like...
I've never jerked off to an animation.
Oh. I don't...
Changing topic here. Yeah. I don't do it.
Yeah, it doesn't
do it often.
It doesn't float my boat. Yeah, it doesn't make me.
I feel like I've learned so much about both of you.
But you never know. You know, you could have been teenage years, and you know when we
all have exploratory phases.
Yeah, I could have been doing anything.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
I was full of...
You're on the third wank of the day.
Yeah.
What are you...
I think that's...
Hey, let's give this a go.
I'm very, very interested to hear what our listeners have to say about how many people they think have jerked off to Ice Age and then can only exclusively jerk off to Ice Age.
Exclusively did Ice Age, I mean, that's huge.
So it's got distribution in Europe. It would have distribution in, obviously, North America and South America and India and, let's say, possibly China. Although I'm not entirely sure.
That's
a huge population.
You've also got like the ubiquity. I think furries are such a specific cultural thing. Like I don't know what...
Do you think it could possibly just be an American sort of driven
Furries are so cultural. Individualistic. They're so cultural.
Furries kind of came from that sort of hyper-individualism of America and wanting to have a community... And a shared community.
There's a certain...
A similar thing with the alt-right.
There's a certain human sexual expression. Furries are alt-right.
That's so funny! Sorry, continue.
No, there's certain human sexual expressions, right, that I think would happen in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Right? I think furries are... Someone has sold me once. They're like, "Oh, animated, anthropomorphized in a very specific style animals." Mm-hmm. Like that's cultural. There's no one's going to in a vacuum go, "I'm going to draw a picture and this is what I'm going to find." You know, like that's a cultural thing. So that has to be a part of it. But I suppose if you've seen Ice Age. That's all you, and it rocks your boat. We're talking, furries are just one part of the Ice Age.
Are furries kind of a subculture, like not a subculture, but did they kind of arrive upon with the development of sort of gender identity? Is it kind of a gender politics sort of adjacent thing with
furries? My friend who is a furry is genderless when they are dressed up.
Yeah. I think there's parallels, but it's definitely, I think you, it, it, but
no, that's what I mean. Is it an adjacent to that? Did they sort of develop
it's expression and like
with the development of this big thing of gender identity and gender politics and things like that, and what that has sort of meant for humans.
Do you mean the people who were kind of exploring the gender spectrum, trying to figure out where they felt most comfortable somehow?
Yeah, the recognition that gender is mainly sort of cultural
and societal.
And that is opening up these sort of windows for people's minds and ability to sort of evolve as humans and
pass this kind of
structural rigid dogma of gender.
I think you could go where it's not that they come of the same thing of like removing. Man, I'm not going to get started on the fucking metaverse because if I go, I'm like a crypto boy with the metaverse. But what happens when we remove the human form from human expression?
Yeah.
And I think it's that furries are in that space of like what happens when you remove our bodies from our expression and our sense of identity.
We are getting closer to the singularity, absolutely.
Mm. We're moving
towards uploading our consciousness into a computer.
Absolutely. We're moving away from
singular consciousness.
The notion that your body and yourself are intrinsically linked is going to be gone in the next 100 or so years.
Yeah.
Your sense of self already. There are people who are entirely their sense of identity and self is online. All of us, really. And that's I'd love to just be a billionaire CEO smoking a toke with Joe Rogan right now.
I think from a certain generation, you're absolutely right. I still like to keep I'm online quite a lot and I've got a big footprint and there's a lot of data out there that's getting bought and sold of me. But I think that there is a certain generation that will continue to stay relatively analog. Like I have quite defined boundaries about what I kind of seem like I overshare online, but I've actually there's things that I will
I'm the same.
Will
of
keep.
Course.
Yeah. But I think
it took me a while when we first started doing this podcast to realize that there was stuff that I didn't want out there. You remember? Like, and I found it really difficult to filter myself. I've learned now.
Yeah. I think I come across kind of nicer online.
Oh yeah. I'm a cunt.
Yeah, you're both awful people. I, on the other hand, listeners, as lovely as you think I am.
Nicer, kinder, if you
if anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes Mish will just be like, oh, I'm sorry I'm late. I had to run by the ATM to get out hundreds in cash to just give out to people,
make it
anyone.
Rain on homeless people.
Yeah,
yeah. And so I'm like, brave. Whoa, okay, there's, okay, all right, sure.
Yeah. So, but I don't like to tell people that.
No, I have to prize that out of them. Yeah. Like, why are you here? What's going on? Like, why? And then all right, this is what I did, you know.
Ice Age 4, though.
I couldn't get past the pirates.
Oh, well, look, we've got to give our Leguistamos at this point. Again, reminder to our listeners.
Are we
reminder
done?
To Ben Russell. I mean, we don't have to be, but kind of.
Do you want to keep talking about like?
We can talk about one of these three topics for another 5 minutes, but you get to choose which topic.
Okay, Mummy Mish.
Okay. You've got 5 more minutes to either talk about Star Wars, jerking off to Ice Age, or the Metaverse.
Well, not the Metaverse. More
can
the
we talk about Ice Age 4? Just a little recap about our thoughts.
I'd love to, but I mean, it's up to
let's
you
talk
guys.
Let's give our Leguistamo, but with reasoning at length.
Yeah.
May I go first, please?
Yes, please.
Thank you. So, just a reminder to our listeners, this is how Leguizamo-y this film was. I'm giving it 2.5 Leguistamos.
Okay, yeah.
It had the least amount of Sid of all the Ice Age films, and as we know, that is Johnny Legs. I got a real vibe from this film that Johnny Legs just isn't as committed to the franchise as he once was, which is fine.
He still sells at the best, I think.
A hunji. His voice work is phenomenal. He is phenomenal. He is so incredible. And if you compare that to an episode that we did recently on, I'm scared to say, but I'm going to say Meadowland, because I don't know if this is coming out.
Put it out before this.
Yeah, whatever. And if we haven't, Meadowland is coming, where he did, like, he had one scene in a diner that was essentially almost one take of just him doing this incredible monologue about losing his daughter. And then you compare it to this, like, fuck, you're phenomenal, Johnny Legs.
Johnny Legs.
Every once in a while, this podcast sometimes makes me feel dead to him. But then every once in a while, I'm reminded of his fabulousness and why we began this podcast.
You're dead to him.
I feel like I am when
no, he's dead to you.
Yes, thank you. Sorry.
Can I ask you a
what
question?
What did you do to Johnny Legs?
I didn't kill Johnny Legs. Remember, I'm really lovely.
You're dead to me.
You're dead to me. I got a question for you really quick. Do you ever sometimes feel like you know Johnny Legs like you know someone at drama school?
Yes.
You know, when you're in a class.
Do you have a parasocial relationship with Johnny Leguizamo?
Well, no, sometimes I think of John Leguizamo and I speak of John Leguizamo like we know each other.
Yeah.
And it's like he doesn't know who I am.
Relationship that you have with this actor.
Yeah, it's bad though. Yeah. And it's like to the point where if I saw John on the street, I'd probably be like, "Hey, John," like, and talk to him like, "Oh my God, hi! Like, how are you?" And I would just approach him like,
and he would
he's a part
out.
Of my life, and he'd be like, "Oh, you're that fucking freak that has a podcast
yeah.
about my entire
about
filmography."
It is like I like you know I like to make things. I make things outside of this, mm. you know. And I would one day love to work with him because mm. he's an actor I really like. And I don't think I ever can now.
No.
No, you're absolutely
like, how
not.
Do I ever?
You can't. Although I think he's the kind of guy who would, I think he likes.
I think he'd be like, oh, yeah, that was funny how you did
yeah,
that.
He's yeah. not like a piece of shit, you know?
He might be pissed off at you.
Maybe.
Nah, he's all right.
Anyway, 2.5 Leguistamos from me because I will say, and I know I said this last time, this of all the Ice Age films, for me, was the best quality of animation, obviously. Like, they're getting better as the years go on. And it did make me laugh twice. I laughed twice.
One, Leguistamo.
Bam.
It retreads, like, stuff. It again, we see no... It's like a complete reset of your character at the beginning of a sequel sort of to a game. It's
so you're
like,
giving it one Leguistamo.
Yeah. Its palette is very samey. Its characters make no sense. Mm-hmm. The character design I don't particularly like.
You're not even going to slip in an extra half Leguistamo for Wanda Sykes.
Wanda Sykes has some Leguistamo, though.
The whale at the end has what is it even?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, around that time, are whales even whales? I don't even think so.
No.
I think there's something else at that point.
True.
I think that whale has teeth, which if a whale that big, I don't believe. The biggest whale is a sperm whale that has teeth, and then the rest are all krill sort of baleen whales. But they don't exist at that point, and neither do half the animals in this show at that period.
Like that weird bag of custard animal.
Yeah.
Like that weird floppy.
And then there's a weird supernatural element with the sirens, which doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Scrat is even so tired.
I hate Scrat.
Point.
I hate Scrat.
It's so tired, and they've it's so clearly run out of all ideas.
We've talked in the past about
you can't
minion slash
you can't go to the center of the earth like that. It's just not possible.
It's very historically inaccurate. This film.
Humans have only been able to they haven't even got through to like the second layer. Of crust, like it's so unbelievably deep, and the pressure would crush Scrat anyway.
Yeah, he'd dissolve.
So, it's impossible, and the continental drift happens so quickly. Australia is just boom, there it is.
Also, man, like full, like just like there's giraffes in that sequence.
Yeah,
that sequence just fully abandoned.
Yeah,
like,
abandoned every conceit except for Manny is a cunt.
Yeah. The one conceit
it
needed to abandon after the first film.
That Manny has learnt fucking
he's
nothing.
He's still unlikable because he never grows. And it's patriarchal, teaching our kids about gender stereotypes. There's tired, derivative plot lines, useless subplot about teens. I would say the villain is, even though it's the voice acting is good, he's so forgettable. He's just like, I'm going to get Manny. Okay, that's fine. And Leguizamo is not in it, so they just don't write anything in it. So they're scrambling to bring in all these crazy characters. So it's just like they must have just gotten so many like rewrites of just like shit. ADR people throw in little one-liners off screen to try and make it funnier, but it's not funny at all. It's one of the most tired franchises at this point, and it was never any good
to begin with. Even the first one, a movie from a whole, is three star movie at best. You know, it's a movie that you might find on a bus.
Yeah, but we don't do stars here. We're talking about
Legostamos.
So all that's great, but the one point that was relevant was that he wasn't in it much.
Yeah, he was not in it much. They try to compensate for it, and it just it's an incredibly it's incredibly lazy. And it sounds like all the voice actors were in for a day or two at most.
I got that vibe.
And the song at the end was just created by AI.
I just feel like, Ben, I don't mean to fight you, but I just feel like this really did pay Johnny Legs' bills enough that he could do another solo show. That in itself, you've got to give it a little extra leg with Star of Love.
That's the one.
Yeah. The one is that it fucking put some money into Legsy's bank account. And for that, we should not judge.
I've got a theory. I reckon that they got paid the same amount for this one as they did for the third one.
No.
I think that, just hear my theory here. I think they got up a really good amount for the third one because they didn't really want to do the third one. So they got the most you can get for a VO job. And then for the fourth one, they were like, I'll do it for more. I think he said to his agent, I'll do it for more. And he came back and they were like, nah, they'll go to someone else. They've hit the ceiling.
I don't think they can go.
And then he said, well, if I'm not getting more, give them a day.
Yeah, okay.
That's my theory.
Do you really think the Ice Age boys would be like, fine, we'll just make it without Johnny Legs?
I don't think the Ice Age series could survive
without him or Ray Romano or Dennis Leary. Yeah.
I think you could lose Dennis Leary.
You could lose Dennis. I was going to say before, Dennis Leary is, and I say this with confidence, is not a good voice actor.
No.
Like, he's just not.
No. I think you could lose Dennis Leary.
He's not a good actor.
I also think you couldn't replace Ray Romano.
Not even a really good comedian.
No.
Human. He's not very good at living.
Yeah.
I think you could replace Dennis Leary. I think you couldn't replace Romano, but you could get rid of Manny. Manny's run his course. You could bring Queen Latifah's character
forward
into the Manny role.
Yeah.
But you could not lose John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
You lose John Leguizamo. You lose Sid. You're done. Series.
What's your Leguistamo rating, Zach?
Oh, my goodness me. What were the three things I was allowed to talk about? I thought I'd
Star Wars, Metaverse. Jerking off to Ice Age, Metaverse.
Here's my problem with the film, right?
That 5 minutes has gone.
No, I know, here's my problem with the film, okay? Mm-hmm. So, firstly, it's what I'd like to call the Star Wars robot problem.
Uh-huh.
Right? The most recent Star Wars is everyone loved R2-D2. So then they made the little R2-D2 ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone loved the little R2-D2 ball. So then they made like little Porgs, which wasn't a robot, but it was like a little bird without a beak. And then everyone loved them. So in the latest one, they did like a little wheel.
Bubble.
Is that the little wheel one?
No, they did the last one they did this little creature for one scene.
Was that
when they were just introducing characters?
Yeah, and there's also a robot in the most recent Star Wars where it's like a little wheel. They didn't need the ball one.
No.
They already had R2-D2. And then suddenly you've got this series where now you got to make time for like five little robots. We got Sid.
Story servicing the technology.
Hey. We got Sid. All we needed was Sid. And here we are with a movie with like literally like you got two opossums. You got Josh Peck and
That's what I was talking about. There's so many of these little incidental wacky characters.
And that's Sid's role.
Yeah.
So that loses a lot of points. This is where I'm getting mad because they're sidelining the one good thing in the series, which is John Leguizamo.
At this point, the series is Transformers. It's just to sell merch. It's just
absolutely. It's a McDonald's Happy Meal.
It's Star Wars. Yeah. Star Wars is just made to sell merch and toys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so is Transformers. Transformers is made by Hasbro, which is a toy manufacturer.
You only need one goofy character. This series has so many, and it's all in service of sidelining John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
My second point that I'd like to make, Mish Witrup, is this series still feminizes, is deeply sexist in its design, but no longer does it feminize the animals by giving them a feminine physique, little breasts.
Little titties.
Little sloth titties?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sloth breasts?
Curvy childbearing hips.
Just with a hairdo. it's as sexist, but I can't jerk off to it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a mammoth with a hairdo. There's nothing sexy about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't even jerk off to this series. Even it's sexist without me being able to jerk off to it.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
Mish. And this is the one I'm struggling to make. This is a point I'm really struggling to make.
Okay.
But we live in a world now, and in 2012, we live in a society.
Yeah.
Where
you said it's getting crazier out there?
It's getting crazier out there. Mm-hmm. And what I got to say, Mish, is it's harder and harder to sustain the attention of a 30-year-old for an hour and a half, let alone a child, because a child is so online.
So online.
That they can,
scary.
Their entertainment is in seconds.
Yeah. Mm.
If you don't have a compelling story, if you don't have a compelling world, you've got a child that in every way through the window of their phone, they can travel to anywhere in the world, any time in the world. Soon they're going to have VR, they're going to have AR, they're going to be able to go anywhere. And it's going to be more and more challenging for the stories.
Yeah. I think
they're competing with AR, metaverse.
I think it picked
fucking
if
hell.
I could actually try and make a small point from that.
Mm-hmm, please, because I was really struggling with
if Pixar is taught us one thing is that kids can appreciate good story and writing.
Mm. Absolutely.
And kids do deserve that. And when we're talking, this movie is talking down to children. It is patronizing children. It's saying children are stupid, so we are just going to throw as much stuff and we're not really going to care about the plot. It's all just kind of derivative, reused, recycled nonsense. It doesn't respect kids' ability to actually appreciate good stories. And they do deserve good stories and just as much as anyone.
This is what I'll say. As we move into a world that's so online that we skip, we move, we're all hyperlinked. We travel from and we spend less than a few seconds with every concept. Storytelling, a lot of like bad filmmakers think the way to compete is to do that with our films.
Mm.
Oh, now you're on a pirate ship. Now there's a whale. Now there's a this. Now there's a that. A million stories. Change.
Just to keep moving. They're trying to distract you from the lack of plot, but you can't.
That's not going to compete with an algorithm. That's not going to compete with a TikTok algorithm.
I hear you.
That algorithm moves faster and knows you better than that film. The only way to truly compete is the Pixar way. Good stories. Move back.
Yeah.
Let go. Go to good stories, good storytelling, emotion. As we move towards a metaverse, more than ever, good storytelling is what's important. And this film doesn't understand that.
So what's your Star Wars rating?
I like the bit where he was funny, you know, where he was like, bah, 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 you know, that bit.
Yes.
Like just before they took
Five
over the pirate.
Five Legos
Stamos. Like, four and a half. He was like, bah. I was like, he's having fun. He's just riffing and they're animating to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not many stars, but oh, fuck, it was fun. And he was like, you know, he was like, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. And I was like, they were just like, have fun. And then I reckon they animated to that. It felt like he was improvising.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I love Johnny
Lee. So what are you giving it?
A four and a half.
What's the next one? What's the next one?
It's Collision Course. Collision Course, about space.
Scrap.
Okay, I swear to God, we've already watched
I accidentally looked up. I accidentally looked up because I looked up the plot of this. And I was like, fuck, I was not paying attention because I accidentally looked up Collision Course.
Yeah.
And it's like every plot description from here on out starts with Scrat. Scrat is the impetus. When Scrat causes
a
meteorite.
Oh my God! This is the last one.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's the last feature length. No, as in the next one.
Ah,
Collision Course. With 2016.
Oh, that means it's pretty. They're done.
They're short.
You'd think, but then there's also the Great Egg Escapade. But that's only 30 minutes, and then there's also Ice Age. A Mammoth Christmas, which we'll be watching.
I believe
Christmas
there's two games
year.
And at least one mobile game as well. Which you don't have to come to that. You're our feature guy.
I got to.
You're in.
We're asking you to. So we're in
now.
All you have to do is commit
podcast,
to.
This, whenever you do Ice Age, it ceases to be just your podcast and is my podcast.
Yeah, I
like a little.
You're my guests.
You're the king of Ice Age.
Oh, fuck. Ben, Russell, thank you.
Thank you for coming on
thank
my
podcast. Thank you for
having
us on your podcast.
Thanks for coming on my podcast.
It's February, I think, right now.
Great. Well, I hope it's not too hot out there, guys. And don't forget that this is a one-off podcast, Ice Age with Ben. When are we gonna happen again?
A couple of months.
But, you know, we are releasing bonus episodes in the interim. We like the guy that played Sid so much that me and Mish, between episodes of the Ice Age podcast. Yeah. On this RSS feed, we're just releasing bonus eps of other things he's been in.
Yeah.
But. All right.
I hope that's okay with you.
You know what? I'll allow it.
Thank you.
Unless you want to join us for all.
Where can people find you, Ben, on Twitch? They should watch your Twitch.
You can find me on Twitch at Bonmember.
Doing a comedy festival show?
Twitch.tv/Bonmember. I'm doing a comedy festival show. It's February, so...
Soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
I'm definitely going to be a little bit closer to writing it than I am in November.
God, we're recording this too far in the future.
It might be January, actually, this episode.
No, we're doing our little ones.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got a comedy festival show. I got...
Good podcast.
I got Grab Park.
Oh. Ben Russell's brilliant. You should just go check Ben Russell out on all the platforms, I reckon.
He often does.
Follow me on the tweets.
Things. Just follow follow Ben and keep
I keep
an
you
eye
updated
100%.
On that one.
And big shout out ben as Russell's. Well as per to Comedy Republic mm-hmm. for letting us record Beautiful. Our podcasts. Comedy Republic, the best comedy venue in Melbourne, albeit the only one. And if it isn't the only one, which it isn't, it should be.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ben. Recently, we've been asking Tom.
I think the more the merrier, but it's definitely the best.
Our editor is Tom Armstrong, you see. And at the end of each episode, we've recently been asking Tom to put in something a bit fucked song, be it a little voiceover moment. What would you like Tom Armstrong
to close us out
with this episode?
I don't. What sort of thing?
Anything to throw it out there. Sometimes he puts a song. He'll go. He did a monologue for us once.
But
that was my favourite.
But that's a lot of work.
Honor sang a song and he created a song based on that, but that was a lot of work, so please don't do that to him.
I mean, I could make him a little song if he wants.
Yeah,
do it.
I'll make him a little
song.
Sing
a song right now.
Underneath what... Yeah. Ben, how about you take us out with a little song?
Okay.
And then Tom, you can put something under it if you can be fucked. If not.
And
okay,
if you can't
great,
be fucked, don't worry about it.
Yeah, put a little song under it. Okay.
Here we go.
I'll make it really simple.
Okay.
There's 800 billion people... living on Earth, and of 8 billion people, around 100,000 people are jerked off to essays today.
All right, thank you, Ben. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.